Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hello, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet one person at a time. Today, I'm so thrilled. We're going to be speaking with Fiona Horn. She's a best-selling author, TV personality, Playboy cover girl, chart-topping, lead-singing goddess of the electro-rock band DefFX. And she has a lot of wisdom to share with us as she's infused her rock and roll world with goddess-based spirituality and personal transformation. So welcome, Fiona.
Thank you, Lisa.
So I just read your book, The Naked Witch. It was so fun and entertaining and touching and really lovely. It was a great book. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear it. It was so amazing.
I mean, you've had such an extraordinary life that it was so amazing to get a glimpse inside all of the things that you've been through, you know, things that really only most of us can dream about doing, knowing these incredible celebrities, having an incredibly successful rock band, living in Hollywood, and now spending time flying as a bush pilot, which I thought was very cool.
Well, actually, I work as a commercial pilot in the Caribbean. I have done bush flying, and I went to Africa a couple of years ago and did a bush flying course. And the goal in that was to refine my skills as a pilot to be able to fly aid into areas maybe that had suffered an environmental crisis or a political crisis. So, you know, the normal methods of delivering aid and help were not available. So bush pilots are trained, well, you know, our specialty is to get into areas that are hard to access and maybe don't have working airports or even runways to use. So I did some flying courses over there, and I was able to complete my first two missions that I helped coordinate and put together to Haiti early last year after they suffered catastrophic damages from a hurricane, Hurricane Matthew. And then ironically this year, I was the recipient of aid because I went through two catastrophic hurricanes on the Caribbean island where I live. So I am working as a pilot, so I kind of was the recipient of the aid this year. But I work here in the Caribbean flying cargo. I fly newspapers between islands. That's my version of service now. I fly newspapers to other islands at 2 in the morning. And do a bunch of other things. Then I'm putting together the next aid flight. But our region, after we were hit so hard in September last year with hurricanes Irma and Maria, like catastrophic hurricanes less than 2 weeks in a row, you know, we really got taken out. So a lot of my work has been focused on my own area and helping the recovery efforts. But I intend to continue the aid work further afield. But I'll continue quickly. You know, it's funny you say all these things that I am, and yet probably your listeners, whoever they are, however many there are, if there's one, if there's 300, if there's a million, most likely don't know who I am. I'm just a human being on the planet who happens to have kind of learned an important lesson, which it's not how many times you fall over that counts, it's how many times you get up and keep going. And that's really the message of the book, is a story of survival, I guess. And in writing it, in the autobiography, you know, writing it at a point in my life where I've been a rock star, been a TV personality, been married, been divorced, been, you know, brokenhearted, found sobriety and ultimately redemption as a professional pilot. The journey is all about finding out that obstacles in life aren't there to stop us but to guide us. And if there was anything that people got from reading the book, like, I'm grateful that you enjoyed it and found it entertaining. I hoped more than anything in writing it that it would be a useful tool for people to maybe refer to or reflect on or maybe even be inspired by to, you know, and learn from the mistakes I've made so that it can help them on their personal journeys, you know, to be the best versions of themselves that they can be at any point in the day or any, you know.
I think it was it was very inspiring to me, because I think, you know, we have this idea about celebrities that they don't deal with the things that the rest of us do. And, you know, you were so, I think, courageously honest in your book about what you've been through and how each of those things brought you closer to your spirituality, which I thought was beautiful. And also, you know, you were just you've been able to reinvent yourself in so many powerful ways. I definitely was very inspired by your book. Tell me a little bit how spirituality is important to you, because that seemed like the underlying, you know, constant in your life.
Well, the title of the book, The Naked Witch, kind of gives it away a bit, being that the spirituality we talk of, the path that I walk is the path of witchcraft. And that was something that was very much, use the term in the broom closet. I was in the broom closet for a long, long time, but even through my band. But when the band broke up, you know, we had a really good run in the 90s, like a good world touring, chart-topping career in the 90s. The spirituality, my witchcraft, really was such a touchstone for me, you know, touring on the road with these grungy boys and this heavy rock band, and it's such a macho environment, and I just needed to connect with a more empathic sense of existence and a more, you know, just, I just needed to balance out all that testosterone. So I was really drawn to goddess spirituality and alternative spirituality, and that's how my witchcraft continued to become a really important part of my life. And when the band broke up and I had an opportunity to write a book about my experiences, not only in the band but as a witch, it kind of propelled an opportunity to write a number of books about witchcraft over the years. And it was an interesting time, because I was recently asked, well, what was your favourite, you know, what you would consider your most successful moment in your magical, or magical career? And I said, the day it stopped being my career, the day I could take it back for my own and step out of the limelight as the world's favourite witch, which kind of, I sort of got to be called at a point. I remember Ryan Seacrest called me Fiona the Hot Witch on E! News once about 10 years ago, I don't know, when I was doing a show on the sci-fi channel Mad Mad House at the time. And that was nice of him to say it. He's a nice bloke. Ryan's a cool guy. But it was like just, it was interesting that something that had been such an important part of my personal life, it gave me a sense of connection and purpose and anchoring in my wild, crazy life, had become my job. So, the book kind of explores that in that public dispelling of the myths, you know, I'd go on TV and talk about scary witchcraft in the most marketable way. You know, this nice blonde lady talking about spells and magic and honouring nature as sacred and goddesses as well as gods. And, you know, I was grateful to have the opportunity to address a lot of the misconceptions. There are a few of us out there in the public eye doing it. Witchcraft was really popular in the 90s and the early 2000s, and, you know, but it used to be so misconstrued. And now, you know, I look back and I think, my gosh, my very first book, Witch Personal Journey, what's called Witch Magical Journey in the States, that came out in, you know, 20 years ago. It just released the 20th anniversary edition, HarperCollins did, of it. And I think, wow, the world's changed, because now there's like, who doesn't know a self-professed witch or Wiccan? You know, it's just kind of normal. But back then, 20 years ago, wasn't.
Yeah, it was pretty radical. So, it was kind of amazing to sort of see the dichotomy between like the funny, like you call it, insecure and illusory world of Hollywood, you know, and it just felt like you really were able to hold on to yourself through witchcraft. It's sort of an interesting to put those two together, Hollywood and the real practice of goddess and pagan spirituality.
Yeah, you know, I think the blessing of, you know, what I've found anyway, and, you know, and now here I am living on an island and I'm still a witch. I work as a professional pilot. I'm a witch. It's just I'm not on TV talking about it all the time, you know, but this opportunity came about to write my autobiography. I never thought I'd be back, large or small. I really just going to have a, you know, like a plane's much more comfortable than a broomstick. I'm happy to be flying planes now instead of broomsticks. And that's a joke, but
right.
It's like, I like my new life. You know, I like the professional work. I like paid work that I do. I like being of service. And that all ties in with my witchcraft, because I've learned that, you know, the craft of the wise, whether you're, you know, helping heal with hurts or doing readings and counseling or any number of things that are considered the craft of the witch, it's all about at the end of the day. And that's where I've learned to, again, like my craft has given me a sense of purpose and an anchoring, and that's, you know, just I think it's a very relevant spiritual path for our current, I guess, evolution of humanity, being that its foundations are rooted in a honouring and nature as sacred. I mean, there's lots of different paths of witchcraft out there, so many, and you know, I could say maybe, again, it's just my own observations and what I feel innately, that there's kind of like a branch of eco-craft or eco-witches coming out now. We're really environmentally conscious, it's not about spellcasting anymore. It's about ritual gratitude and understanding that and peaceful, fulfilled life is to ask for nothing and just show up and be of service and allow the universe to take care of your needs. I mean, I experienced that recently with these hurricanes. It's like, it was mind-boggling, the ferocious, you know, the ferocious beauty and yet absolute, like, I mean, it was just annihilation. These hurricanes came through and they annihilated the island. And you think, as a witch, how can this be required, Mother Nature, like, to do this to this degree, to take everything away? And yet I understand now that in this, because now, you know, the island no longer looks like a nuclear bomb's been dropped on it. 5 months later, the trees are green. The humans have had taken longer to recover than nature has. It's back, and so many of the invasive plants that were smothering the natural indigenous ones have actually died. They're gone. The vines, the smothering vines, they're all gone. It's like nature just did this massive prune, you know, and went through and pruned all the crap and had to rip everything out. But the stuff that's meant to stay stays and grows stronger and more luscious and beautiful than ever. And that's what I learned from these hurricanes. I lived, I survived. Other people I know didn't. A friend died and another friend was lost. And, you know, people lost their homes, their belongings, everything. Like, so many people. I was one of the lucky ones. The roof stayed on my house. But I just learned a lot from the hurricane, that you can only live in gratitude and trust that when these immense destructive forces move through your life, the best thing to do is to be flexible and accepting and try to learn and be grateful when you get through the other side. And that, you know, as a witch, I really, as a pagan witch, as a witch that honors nature, I always, you know, just learn from what I see around me. What I'm looking at now, the skies, dark skies of the stars where I am right now as we talk, and this recovering island, and I just feel grateful that I have this perception of reality as a witch.
Well, yeah, that's beautiful, and I really loved it how you said in the introduction of your book that it's about, like, surrendering and asking for nothing and giving, you know, figuring out where you can give back. And, you know, your story about the hurricane and just seems like it's just another opportunity for you to do that. Your life has been filled with these pretty radical, you know, changes and reinventing loss and reinventing yourself. And the hurricane, in a way, is another opportunity for you to do that.
Yeah, it came on the heels of the book. The autobiography had come out. You know, this kind of, here it is, a baby. It's one of, you know, it's my ninth book. I never thought I'd write another book, but this opportunity came. I meditated on it. I asked the universe, why am I doing this? And I thought, okay, well, like we were saying earlier, if people could learn from my mistakes, then it's a useful tool to put out there in the world. And then, you know, it comes out and it's all happening because it came out in Australia in July last year. And in Australia, it got quite the launch. I mean, the media really got on it, and all of a sudden I was kind of a celebrity again, which was extraordinary. And yet I wasn't in the country. I was on a little rock out in the middle of the Atlantic. But in Australia, I was on the cover of magazines and everyone was really going kind of wild about the book. So it was interesting to have all that going on and observe that from afar. And yet, and then the hurricanes, bang, just killed it. You know, like I was supposed to do a book tour and a band tour and all this stuff and gone. Mm. But I was okay. I learned just to, you know, let go. And I realized actually that I could be far more useful helping people around me and the world around me here recover than being in Australia on a book tour. It found its way, and you know, everything is as it's meant to be. That's when you learn to just accept that, then you always find a reason to be grateful in the present moment. And I might have reinvented myself a lot, I might have done a lot of stuff, but anyone can. I sort of say in the book, you know, I've got a lot of things wrong, certainly a lot more things wrong, made a lot more mistakes than I ever got right. But there was one thing I got really good at doing, which was not giving up. And I'm grateful for all the challenges in life because they gave me opportunities to find out what I can do. And I'm just going to keep going for it. I mean, why not?
I'm so pleased for you that you found something that seems so fulfilling for you and so interesting to be a pilot. And I love that you're, you know, helping other people and finding a way to give back. Like, I think of all the things you could have done with yourself, you picked something really beautiful.
Well, thank you. I hope that, you know, if people are interested in reading the book, they'll have a fun time exploring the days or reading about when I was like hanging out with Gwen Stefani and doing, you know, like Billy Corgan on stage with the Smashing Pumpkins and that whole 90s era, all those adventures, all those journeys. There's a lot of that kind of stuff, you know, sprinkled through the book, but it's relevant to the journey, you know, like it's not gratuitous. It's just life that it was then, you know, and I'm still friends with some of those people from that period of my life. And it's interesting because I have I love going back to LA now. Even though I live out in the islands, I go back, maybe back there in a couple of weeks and meet up with some friends. And I love going back there now, not needing anything from that town. You know, working in the entertainment industry, it's so fickle and it's intense, you know, and yet the world looks at it like it's so desirable and so great, but it's really, at its core, it's kind of really messed up. And, you know, I said in the book that I never, in living in Los Angeles, working in the entertainment industry and being successful, you know, being on TV shows, being on billboards, all that stuff, being on the cover of magazines, never been surrounded by so many people and felt so alone. You know, it's just this town where everyone's in it for themselves and you know, it's all about what do you do? What can you do for me? And, you know, when I go back there now as a pilot wanting nothing, I'm just kind of this person that, you know, people say, well, what do you do? And I say, oh, I fly airplanes. You know, like, what? Huh? And then all of a sudden, you know, there's some amazing creative people in LA. I've met, you know, I've got some of my best and most dearest friends there. But it's a pretty tricky town to navigate. I mean, I put in 10 years and I had a good run. I'm grateful for the time I had there. But when I was there, I never felt like it was enough. And that's the kind of deception of, you know, when we look to celebrity or, you know, we're encouraged as a society to think that is, you know, that celebrity, that world of entertainment is some kind of demigod and heaven on earth. It is what it is. It's only as relevant and as important. It only has as much power as you give it. And really, what I find much, you know, people have said to me now, wow, you've met all these famous people and hung out with this person, and this person's your best friend, and, you know, who do you want to meet next? And I kind of think of it, and I say, oh, I like meeting children. I love talking to children and spending time with children. They're fascinating. And I'd like to spend the rest of my life meeting children and chatting with them. Interesting creatures.
And what would you tell them? What would you want to say to the children from what you know?
I wouldn't tell children anything. I'd let them tell me. Seriously. Yeah, seriously. Yeah. You know, out of the mouth of babes, you know, they're closer to the source of the wellspring of universal wisdom before they're adulterated. I mean, you know, even young adults, and it's just so interesting, you know. People are fascinating, and everyone, you know, everyone is as important as the next. And if we all just allowed ourselves to have that level of respect and acceptance for ourselves that we kind of feel inspired to have for people we put on pedestals, we just kind of honored ourselves in that way and relaxed and then honored each other, then everyone would be pretty chill and pretty happy.
It sounds like really good advice.
Lisa, you know, as much as I'm loving chatting with you, the reality of life right now is that it's kind of late where I am, and I've got to get up in a few hours and fly the newspapers.
All right. Well, thank you so much for talking to us today, Fiona. I really appreciate it, and I'll let you go because I know you've got some stuff to do. So thank you for being here with me.
Thank you so much, and I wish you all the very best. Thanks, Lisa.
Okay. Thanks, honey.
Okay. Bye.
And thank all of you guys for joining me and Fiona Horn, the fabulous Fiona Horn, here on Empower Radio. Really hope you check out her book. It's super fabulous. It's called The Naked Witch. We were lucky to get her on the phone tonight. So check it out. And thanks all of you guys on Empower Radio for being with me today, too.